Blog Talk Radio. Alabaster Box. That is the great and ever so lovely CC Winans. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Woman at the Well. I am Beverly Black. This is The Woman at the Well on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly, All Rights Reserved. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to have you tune in. If you are listening online and you want to call in, the number is 347-539-5285. If you are listening online, if you have called in and you would like to revert online, our studio is www.blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. My guest today is Sherry D. Hill. Sherry was nearly raped at age 14, but as an overcomer, she is here to tell her story. She is the mother of the gone too soon, Marquise Hill. Marquise was a man of honor and a lineman for the New England Patriots. He played football on two pro teams. He has the Super Bowl rings all through his career. He has been a man of honor. So help me welcome to the well, Sherry. How are you, Sherry? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you, Beverly?
I am blessed. Thank you. I'm blessed, and it's an honor and a privilege to have you to come to the well. And I just want to preface what the well is all about. In the book of John, of course, many that know their Bibles know that there was a Samaritan woman at the well when Jesus arrived. She came upon the well and Jesus was there. And that was ordered, that was divine, because she ultimately would be told everything about herself from the Messiah that she perceived him to be. And she ran back to the town and she told all the men, she told all the people, and they came to the well to meet the Messiah. And because of her, 5,000 or more were saved. So we come to the well to tell of our healing and the grace that we've received by the God that we serve. Now, the road to healing is paved with reflection. You may not remember the day it happened. You may not recall the time. You just know how it made you feel. Your Me Too moment changed everything. But you don't have to feel alone. Come to the well and speak your truth. Share your Me Too moment. Your strength and courage will help others. With that being said, we are going to enter into this conversation. And I am looking forward. Mrs. Sherry Hill, tell me about that adolescent, innocent version of yourself. Where you're from, the family dynamics, and what you wanted to become when you grew up. And then we'll talk about your Me Too moment.
My hometown is in Alabama, Dothan, Alabama. That's where I'm originally from. And that's where the incident happened. It was a long time ago, you know, before, you know, back in the 60s, it was, you know, those types of things wasn't really reported that much, you know, like they are now,
mm-hmm.
prevalent. You know,
But before that, just want to get an idea of the innocent version, happy little girl, and what, you know, you wanted to become when you grew up, before we get into the experience.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to school, finish school, be successful. I have a degree in art. I like drawing. I paint portraits. That's what I wanted to do, is nourish my talent. That's always what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a renowned artist you know, and just paint portraits and help kids and, you know, to enjoy life and, you know, paint their own world, draw their own world. Those, that's always been my goal in life.
So what was life like growing up in Alabama?
It was the normal life. I mean, it was, I guess it was different when you haven't been to other cities, you know, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about in the 60s. But my life there was kind of horrible because I had a lot of tragedies. My mom and dad was, divorced. So that was a heartbreaker for me, and our house burned simultaneously at the same time. Just about it, you know, when we was going through a turbulent family issue. So it wasn't that good for me, you know, but, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was a normal life, middle class, you know, area where I live. My daddy was a contractor. My mom was a homemaker. So, you know, it was a normal life. I mean, you know, but then when your whole support system crumbles in a divorce, that's why I feel sorry for kids that are experiencing breakups with their parents. You know, a lot of people just get a boyfriend and become common law married. My mom and daddy were married. But, you know, I can understand a child when they go through different challenges. You know, with family and fathers not in the home, and now you got all these people in, you know, the families. One of them, if this ain't the mother incarcerated, it's the dad. If it's dad's not dad, it's the killing of the mom and dad. You know, so, you know, when you've seen it kind of on both sides, and I worked it on both sides, you know, worked in that kind of atmosphere when I moved to Louisiana. So I kind of like had a taste of all of it, you know.
Right. Well, you know, that's probably what makes you the patient, kind, and empathetic adult that you are today, because you've seen the ebb and flows of life, and God allowed you to have empathy for people that are going through tragedy and you know, turning tragedy to triumph is one of the things that I have perceived from you, because I know that you are an author. And we'll get into that a little later. It's in the bio section for our listeners that are just tuning in. You are listening to The Woman at the Well. I'm Beverly Black, and I am having a discussion with Mrs. Sherry D. Hill. She is the author of The Marquise Hill Story, From the Cradle to the Bowl. And Marquise Hill's life was tragically taken at an early age while he was in the act of saving someone else's life during a water skiing accident. He is a man of honor, and we honor him and his legacy and the torch that you carry, keeping his legacy alive. Let's talk about fast forward from growing up, you know, normal childhood up until, you know, the vicissitudes of life come into play. We can identify with broken marriages and family dynamics, tragedies, and out of your ashes comes the phoenix that rose from that fire into the queen that you are today. But something happened along the way. What was your Me Too moment?
When I was walking home, it was kind of dark. My mama always said be inside, and this guy, I didn't really know he attacked me, and I fought him off, you know, but I was very upset. I was frightened and scared, and I ran home. I was crying, and I told my mom what happened, but because he didn't get that opportunity to go through the process, I was grateful, and it kind of affected me, you know, mentally and physically, but it was a hard
point. So basically, when you say attack, this is when you were, someone tried to rape you at age 14, correct?
You correct. That's what you were asking me about, I thought. Yes.
Yeah, your Me Too moment. It was, like you said, you were walking home and it was nearly dark, but you were getting there. And he just came from out of nowhere. Or had you seen him in the neighborhood before? Had he been someone that?
I've seen him, but I really didn't know him. You know, but kind of caught me off guard. He was trying to pull me out of sight, but I fought the whole process.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you were walking home, and he tried to grab you and pull you out of the light into the shadows, and God knows from there what. So you fought him off, hallelujah, and you got home, and from what you wrote in your book on page 18, for a long time, I was afraid of men and relationships. So tell us, from that day, once you made it home, the intersection of that moment, did that change you forever, in a sense?
I was angry, and I really didn't trust men for a long time, and I was very defensive. After I looked back over my life, I was hesitant, about relationships. So it really kind of made me put myself in a shell, like a guard.
So you became very guarded and protective about yourself.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way it was. And my mom always told me, when you go to school and go to college, you go as one, come as one. So I had her in my ear on one. So that resonated real well.
That's a given. What she was telling you was a reminder that, hey, when you leave out of here with your girls, y'all don't separate. Y'all stay together and everybody get back together. It really, just like kids today, they run in packs, and it's like, I see that you and I both do a lot of posting on social media about very impacting things that affect the community. And the one thing that I feel that we're not doing enough of is self-defense training, obviously being protected by the men folk, and we're not running in the packs that we used to run in. Used to run, 8, 9, and 10 deep,
Can
you imagine a man trying to come up into a pack like that and accost somebody? You'll get the brakes beat off you,
Correct.
So, thank God that Me Too moment didn't go to its full apex like it could have, and we know there's a lot of women that aren't as blessed to be able to say those words about any situation that they have been in, that they have encountered. But out of that, you triumphed, although you became more guarded. Someone was watching over you. You had the wherewithal to fight. It's fight or flight, and you fought. And see, and that's huge as a 14-year-old. To start fighting. I mean, because at 14, come on now, we're already blossoming, and they see it. We're not the little flat chest, 8 and 7 year old. By 14, that's a sophomore in going on a sophomore.
Right. Correct. You're right.
So the fact that you fought, was good, and I want to encourage women that we gotta fight. Okay, we got to fight, and we have to take ownership. And so here we're looking back in hindsight and seeing the type of strength, that you're walking in. So describe the strength that you're walking in specifically because of that experience. We know that you did become guarded, which may not always be a bad thing. You had a son, so we know that you got to a place where you could trust and love and procreate. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But you're walking in a specific type of strength and wherewithal, and through that experience, having come through life as you have, as a grown woman, what type of strength does it take under that crown that you're wearing on your head? What type of strength is beneath your crown?
Well, I tell you, I know one thing, God gives me strength, that's for sure. That's the first.
Hallelujah.
I mean,
amen.
And I keep my hand in his hand. My family, my grandmother on both sides, my father's side and my mother's side, they was praying women, and women in our family are strong women. So I could say I inherited.
Come on.
But I know for sure God has a hand in all of it. I mean, that's the main priority. I guess because I was raised with brothers, I was only girl. So I had four brothers, which was very protective of me. And then I had to kind of like be in charge of them because I was the oldest. And my mom depended on me. So when she was out of place with my dad, when they had to do something, they left me in charge. So I had that, what you call it, authoritary type, you know. Strength of in my within myself. Yeah, so, you know, I think that's part of it, you know, just growing up. And I've never been an aggressive type person, but just like you say, when I had my son, I did learn to love, but I was let down on that end as well. So that didn't make, that kind of brought me back to the last because, you know, you trust a man and it's really hard. And, you know, it's just hard, but, I just think it's God-given strength that I get it through him, that's where it comes from. I mean, I'm really at this point where I don't take nothing from nobody, and I fought for my son, and I just didn't settle for anything. You know, I mean, you're not going to run over me on my watch.
I know that's right.
You was asking me that, and I was looking at a program on TV last night, how this woman really took the treatment of a man that was abusing her, you know, abusing her verbally and mentally. And, you know, she just said that he was talking to her so bad mentally and physically, she believed she was the problem, and he was just beating her every day. And it wanted to make me cry when I was looking at it. I said, oh, my God, I don't know if I could stay in nothing like that, but one just hit me one time. That's it. Because Richard and Elmira is not whipping me. I'm not taking it from no man, you know, so.
And thank you. And since we're too grown to get a whooping today, the only thing I can say is, you know, haven't helped any man that ever put his hands on me because I'm raised by a king and I behave like a queen. And if you ever touch me, I got two sons and two daughters. And
all right.
You better hope that they don't get to you and hope that I handle you. Okay? You would hope that I handle you. But, you know, we have a loving, awesome God. And he watches over us and keeps us and guards us, guides us, and protects us. And, you know, until the right man does present himself, we'll be who we are doing what we do. That's all I got to say. But now, let me ask you this, because we talk about the women and the queens that you talk about, the strong women that you're raised under. Let me ask you, around age 25, if you look back on who you were, if your 25-year-old self could reach back in time and mentor your 5-year-old self, what words would you tell her to hold for dear life?
What words would I tell if I could look back in my time of life for myself?
You could look back. Yeah, exactly. What would you tell the little girl you used to be as the woman at age 25? What had you, learned as a young woman to look back 20 years and tell the 5-year-old? You're 25. You're looking back 20 years at the 5-year-old. What do you have to say?
I'll tell you. I have to say, let me see, that's a difficult question because I just always had a heavy belief in my faith in God, and I just trusted him, and I think back then I even more so trusted him. So,
so if you were speaking to a five-year-old, and of course that's a dear age, however, we don't underestimate these little darlings because they be knowing. But what would you tell? What would you tell a child as far as looking up and outward about
for the
life
future.
and for the future? What does she need to know to become her best self?
I would say tell her to, you know, always be obedient to her parents, him or her parents, because the Bible speaks, you know, obedient child will live out, you know, their days, you know, rightfully so.
Uh-huh.
But I would say be obedient to your parents, which I was an obedient child myself, you follow
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I would tell the child, or keep your trust in Lord and, you know, do your best. Never take seconds. Always do your best. Never, you know, be below. Don't never be average. Always
mm-hmm.
be above. That's what I would tell them. And never trust, you know, and never be go up to a man or male or boys by yourself. You know, always be with your, you know, at 5 years old, because, you know, they do things to five-year-olds as well. Or let your parents know,
a lot of
you know, know if somebody's following, you know, I let them know about, you have to teach children about sex, you know, that, you know, what to protect when they're young as well. Now, you know, at one time, your parents didn't tell you all these things, but now you have to let them know, never go to a stranger. At 5 years old, we're talking about, never go to a stranger, you know, or if a person touch you in the wrong places, always let somebody know. Don't ever believe what they say. I hurt you or hurt your parents. You know, because I work with children of that age, you know, when
mm-hmm.
I was running a preschool in the projects. And these are things we had to teach our children.
Mm-hmm.
While I was working in the projects, we had gunshot drills, so we had all kind of stuff we experienced. So, but, you know, those are some
wow.
of the things I would tell them, you know, just trust your parents. Don't let nobody touch you inappropriately. 5-year-old and a boy, both girl and boy. Keep you, you know, have a second plan and a first plan. Whatever you want to do, reach for it. The sky's the limit. You could be anything you want to be in life. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what
mm-hmm.
I would tell them. 4 or 5 or
wow.
5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, beautiful, beautiful. You know, and just knowing that at that tender age, you're dreaming about what you want to be, you should be innocent,
mm-hmm.
innocent intact and able to dream your dreams about what you want to become in life. And, you know, I imagine at 5,
mm-hmm.
that's a fairy tale time. And so, like you said, we have to teach them not to go to strangers and to not to just walk up to people and to, you
right.
know, don't leave, you know, the side of the person that is entrusted to care for you and just to that degree. So,
And you know, now the parents not getting the kids' cell phones, so you got that to deal with now. So.
Well, you sure do. You really do. Yeah. One of the things that I used to tell my daughter is not to squeeze past, and this is, we're talking older than 5, because a 5-year-old, you know, they're at a tender age where it's like the things that we want them to know is coming from school or from the babysitter or from, you know, wherever, did anyone touch you?
Sure.
You know, don't be scared to tell mommy if somebody touches you. I need to know because I need to protect you, and it's okay to tell me because it wouldn't be your fault. Because you never know what someone is telling your child. So those are one of the things, because, you know, we send our children into the out there in the world, and we're sending them out feeling as though we can trust who we're sending them to.
And you're right.
And people do get violated. And so we just want to remind people that, you know, we're sending our children to school, to daycare, and we also in this day and age see on social media videos where daycares and schools are abusing our children. So we have to send our children out with the mindset that no matter what and no matter who, we are here to protect you, we are here for you to come to, and that you can trust us with whatever it is that you need to say about somebody else, even if that person told you, you better not tell. You tell us anyway. So that's what I would want my five-year-old self. I would want my five-year-old self to know that you tell me whatever you need to tell me. You feel comfortable and safe and secure in knowing that it's safe to tell me and be, you know, to trust me, to protect you. So now when we talk about you as an overcomer, you as, and I'm getting a lot of background sound. I don't know if it's on the headset or what, but let me just remind everyone, you're tuned in live to Tribe Family Channels, The Woman at the Well. I am Beverly Black again, and I am interviewing, or rather having a very honest discussion with Ms. Sherry Hill. And you can read her book, The Marquise Hill Story, From the Cradle to the Bone. She's going to tell you how to order the book and get in touch with her before we get off of the air. But now, what are you doing now in terms of the legacy that you're carrying and the mantras that you were imparted to you by the women that raised you? Like you were saying, you know, you come from a stock of strong women. So what are you doing now to pass on the teachings and the mantras and being the village, so to speak?
I'm really, at this point, I'm right now I'm chopping for a movie possibility for my book. So from hopefully I'll generate funds from there, and then I'm going to do a lot of community work with the mothers. I have several engagements this year to go speak in different cities, you know, with single moms. I want to speak with, you know, especially mothers to, you know, encourage them to don't give up. More or less, because I was a single mom, and even single or married moms, it doesn't matter. But I like working with you. If my son was living, I would probably be working with him round the clock with his camp, because he loved working with children, and that's what I miss so much. But anything I could do to support the community, or see, I worked 5 years with the New Orleans Police Department as a juvenile counselor, and I interceded with a lot of parents and, you know, children that was having problems. So, and I worked in the projects, one of the most dangerous projects in New Orleans, about 7 years. But they tore the projects down. They used to call it Brick City. The name of the project was Desire. So I've always been a counselor or a mentor with mothers and parents and children. Anytime I get the opportunity, I tried to input or, you know, let them know, you know, about what it's all about. Because these type of things, they don't teach you in school. They just, you know, you just have to learn day by day. But my goal is to do whatever I can, maybe one day have a Marquise Hill Award to present to some of the top students in the class, you know, to have them to look forward to something and help them, give them scholarships. That's my goal, just to keep his legacy alive and work with single parents. And like I say, I do have a couple of engagements, and so that's what I'm planning to do. I'm working on my children's book, and I have a cookbook to do with my mom, for my mom, and she has a good at recipes. So that's what I'm going to do, you know, just to keep it going, you know, and be whatever support I can do. That's
awesome,
my plan.
Awesome. Yes, very good plans, a very bright forecast, and just rife with substance. So I'm looking forward to all of that, and if there is anything that I can do, please don't hesitate to call me and let me know. I'm here for you and definitely wanting to remain connected and be a part of whatever it is that I can do, whatever God has designed. You know, you don't carry the torch by yourself. You know, there's a village that's willing to wrap their arms around you and be queens and queens on the journey with you. Now, tell us about the recipe book and just anything that you want people to, you know, be supportive of, where they can find you on social media and just how they can be more supportive, what types of people that you are looking to connect with. You never know who's listening. You may need grant writers. You may need, you know, people that are in the community that are actually, you know, boots on the ground. And so what types of support systems are you still in need of, or resources that you are still in need of when it comes to bringing these plans and opportunities to fruition?
Well, anybody familiar with any grant writers, that would be helpful, because if I could get a grant, that would help me, you know, get started and do more, you know, you know, and support special, you know, to do things for parents. Or and if they have an event, you know, with single moms or anything to do with moms and teenagers, I'm willing to come, you know, and be a part of. And like I say, because we shopping now for this project with the movie, I'm trying to get that on the roll and get it balled, you know, rolling, so we can get something going, which that's a task within itself. And right now, I finished my children's book. I'm just trying to get the illustration. If anybody know any good artist that draws well, that's what I'm in need of right now, because I'd have been through so much. I had some of my stuff done for my book, and because I'd have been through so much, I don't have the patience. At this age that I'm at, my patience is kind of short right now, because I'm dealing with a lot of things at one time. But I am looking for, if I could get somebody to do some artwork for me following my instructions, because I'm an artist, I can give them instructions as to what I want. I just need to use their hands to do it for me. Because on it, grinding with my talent for years, because I just had to change my recourse when raising my son to just not even concentrate on that. I was just in the survival mode.
I understand completely.
So I just, and then I lost everything that I had worked on my book in Katrina. So that kind of like, you know, let me down, you know. But thank God our life was saved, you know. So that's
your
more
voice
important.
Is fading away. I don't know what happened, but it's gotten
the what?
Got a little.
I didn't hear.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, okay. What did you couldn't hear me?
I couldn't hear you.
So I had some of my stuff, my drawings and stuff done from Katrina, you know, before Katrina.
Right.
You know, to Katrina survived. I lost all of it in Katrina.
Okay.
So
I'm
all
so
my
sorry
things
to hear
that. I had done. Yeah, so I kind of like don't really want to walk it again. You know, so.
Right,
but,
I understand. You want to start fresh at this juncture.
Yeah, right. And so if I can. That's what I'm trying to find. I was trying to reach out to see can I find an artist that really has the skills of drawing or either painting, because I know what I want and I need to use their hands to get it done. Because I'm with this production company, it seems like they can't get it right. So I don't know what I'm trying. I told them they got to let me know something this week. So that's where I'm at right now. My editing part is done. I'm just trying to get the illustrations done.
Right, I understand. Well, I do. I'm actually waiting for some artwork that an author that I consult with. I'm the publisher of Gumbo for the Soul Publications at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com, and I have six of my own books under my belt, and I consult to help people become published themselves. So there's many people out there whose books came through and by way of me. So with that being said, there is an artist, and I'm waiting for his rendition of the animals that he has drawn for a customer's book cover. Once I... get that, I can have a better idea of, you know, what his work looks like, and then we can go from there.
Right, I understand. Right.
Yeah,
no,
then I can go ahead and refer him, but I won't refer anyone sight unseen. I did see his sketches, and his sketches were quite nice, you know, for if you're looking for a children's artist, his sketches were quite nice. And so, yeah, so I will probably, will like his, you know, finished product. I'm going to say that. I may fall in love with it because the sketches were quite nice. So I'll keep that in mind. Now, let's see. So that's on the children's book side. And you don't mind... the grant writers to get involved. Now, what else is it that you may be in need of?
Well, a grant writer, if I know someone, people tell me they know somebody that's grant writers, but I never can get in touch with them. But I mean, if I could get connected to one, they can kind of guide me through the process. I'm not familiar with how it works. I know you can grant, you know, write for grants and get money, and you have to, you know, get it set up. I know that, but you know, I don't know all the steps. But I just want to make sure I meet with somebody that knows all about it and know what it takes to get it done.
And you actually have to write yourself into the grant. A grant writer would generally write their fee into the grant. And so let's say if you were trying to get a grant for 50 grand and they were charging 10% of that, if you got that grant for 50 grand, they would take their 5 grand out of that. So you would get 45, you see.
Right.
So, and there are grant writers out there. I've had many people approach me in terms of writing a grant. But because it's made up like the way it is, where they're typically customarily written into the grant, when a grant writer approaches you, they're kind of looking to be paid on the side. You know, they're looking to be paid up front. And so that can be, that can be kind of challenging in the event that you're simply, you know, looking for someone that will work with you So just want to say that. And let's see. So whomever I can, you know, assist and connect with you, I'm definitely going to do that. Now, let's see. When you talk about the scholarship, have you connected with anyone with regards to the scholarships? What's the process or the status, I want to say, with that?
Well, I haven't really put it in place. That's what I plan to do if I get the movie done, and that means I will have funds, you know, that I'll be able to work with, you know. That's what I plan to do. You know, that's, I haven't put nothing in place for it. I haven't accumulated any money, but that's my goal. You know, if I could get this project off the ground, you know, and so far I'm meeting the right kind of people. And the person that I'm dealing with now, she knows a lot of the producers in New Orleans. And she's, you know, it's pretty much, she's clear that getting the movie done would be a process, you know, a problem. So we're just hoping we come across the right deal, you know, that's come on the table.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So I figure once we get that done, of course, you know, when you do things like this and get in this kind of level, you know, you need stuff for tax write-offs too, you know. So that's what my plans are, to deal with that. And maybe get some support systems from businesses. That would be another issue. But, you know, that's my goal to do, you know, get involved with. And I just signed up for this organization that my friend is a member of. I don't know if you heard of it. Let me give it to you right now. It's out there in the area where you live. NABFEME. You ever heard of that organization?
NABF what?
I'm going to tell you what the name of it. I'm going to tell you now. I just joined it. National Association of Black Female Executives in Music and Entertainment.
Okay, I think I have heard of them before. Yeah, where are they? Let me see.
It's a website. I just joined it. This is their 20th year, and they do a lot of connections. So that's what I'm trying to get, you know, network with these type of people. You know, that's the initials for it. NAFEMA, I guess that's the way they pronounce it.
I'm looking at it. Johnny Walker is the president and founder. They're in Tennessee.
Yeah, but they all over the country. They have different chapters in every state.
Oh, okay.
But
it's a
$20 because it's their 20th year. They have a deal going on where you can sign up, you know, if you're interested in that. So
okay, I'm on the website. I will definitely.
You just go on that site and you can sign up. It says $100 but now it's 20 for 20 years. They're doing a special because it's the 20 year anniversary. So my friend, she lives out there in California, so I signed up with that. They have events as well. So, like, you know, like events like dinner, luncheons, and speakers and honoring women.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good connection there. So that's what I'm hoping. We have. She told me they have one here in Louisiana, New Orleans. And so I'm going to connect with them. So, you know, just a
beautiful
networking.
Yeah, well, that is beautiful, and I am at the website. It looks very empowering, and, you know, what I like is that you're not afraid to connect. You're not afraid to grow your brand, hold the torch. The flames might be hot, but you're holding that torch. You're wearing your crown. You're doing what you need to do to move your, you know, voice and your agenda down the road and bring it to fruition. So I want to see these types of great things continue to happen in your life, and definitely wishing all the success that God can muster to give you. You are so deserving. So I stand
Thank
with you and definitely want to be supportive in any way I can. And, you know, there's some movie producers that are connected with through our Geniuses Common family. Mr. Bruce
mm-hmm.
George, creator and co-founder of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, founder of the Geniuses Common movement. We want to give a shout out to Geniuses Common,
mm-hmm.
of which you are a part of. And
amen.
We mm-hmm. thank you. And perhaps somewhere along the way of your journey towards your movie endeavors, perhaps we'll be able to connect you in with these movie connections that are in the camp. Now, what I would like to do is, before we go, tell everyone
mm-hmm.
about your book and how they can reach you.
It's on Exhibler's. I don't know if everybody heard of Exhibler's. That's a book website. You can get the physical book. You can get the physical
mm-hmm.
book from me, where I will sign it. So you'll get a signed copy, and my copies are cheaper. Mine's are $15.99. I sell them for $15, but mostly $15.99. But I have the charge for mailing and handling. But the books on
mm-hmm.
these other lines are $19.99. But Amazon has it in e-books, and I think you can get the paperback book as well. And you can hit me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can send me an email, hill.sherry9469@gmail. And if you email me, or you can call me, you text me, 504-228-3104, and say, look, I want to get your book. We can connect. I'll send it. They send me the money. I'll send it in the mail the next day. I do it all the time. So whatever ways, you know, that I can get it done, we do it. I mean, It's enough work
yes.
in this world for everybody. Nobody don't have to be tight, stingy, or let me do my part. You know, I can't let you do that. You know, it's just enough for everybody. And we as a people of diverse and who have come through all controversies in life, from slavery all the way up to now, and then we got all this stuff going on with the government. We have to stick together and try to make it right. We got to do what we have to do to save our children, our future. And we don't have time to be playing games. We can't do
Amen. It. Amen. Well, I want to let you know that I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation here. Again, we are on The Woman at the Well, live on Tribe Family Channel, and this discussion has been with Sherry D. Hill, the mother of former New England Patriots lineman Marquise Hill, who tragically went home to be with the Lord following a jet ski accident, and his memory and his legacy and his lit torch continues, hallelujah, through Sherry D. Hill. This is a woman of honor, of reverence, and of integrity. May God continue to bless you, to keep you, and to guide you. We are here to support you. And again, if there is anything, I mean anything, that you need from me, you have my number, you have my personal cell, and you can call me at any time. If you just want to talk, Mrs. Hill, I'm here. Ms. Hill, I'm here for you. And I want to thank you for being here for me on The Woman at the Well. And God bless you and keep you, okay?
And I want to say thank you for giving me that invitation and opportunity. And please remember to all your listeners, I did touch the hem of his garment. I've been touched by
hallelujah.
His garment.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
So,
yeah. If you can't do nothing but reach out and touch the hem of his garment, then reach your arm on out. And don't let nobody tell you that you out of place for Because they don't know the cost of the oil in your alabaster box. They don't know. They don't know the weight of your crown. They don't know what you have been through. So how dare anyone ever think that they could walk in your shoes? And I'm going to tell you, like I've told many, the only thing that I can do with your crown is shine it and set it down.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
God bless you and keep you.
Thank you
so have
much.
Been tuned in. Thank you so much. You have been tuned in to The Woman at the Well. I'm Beverly Black. This is a Tri-Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul International family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly. All rights reserved. Continue to listen to our network by following us on blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. And please, please, please visit our parent company, GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. We have our second installment of Women of Honor due out this October. Dave Chappelle's mother, Dr. Yvonne Sion, wrote the foreword, and she will be pictured on that cover. And I invite all of you to join in, too. The guidelines are on the website, and the drop date is October 1st, but the deadline to submit is June 30th. If you want to be on the back cover, you need to get at me as soon as possible because slots are limited. Ms. Hill, God bless you and keep you, darling, and we will talk again soon, okay?
All right, sure will. Thank you so much.
All right. It's my honor, privilege, and pleasure. Yes, you have a blessed one. And don't forget, you can follow Tribe Family Channel at facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. We're on Twitter at Tribe Family US. And again, I'm Beverly Black. If you have an interest in being on our show, you can write to me at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. Tribe stands for talent, respect, inspiration, beauty, empowerment. God bless you and keep you. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.
The tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, I've come to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster bud. Don't be angry if I wash your feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. Of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box. My tears and dry them with my